What's up, you guys? Sean Rossap, FightfulSelect.com, here for the Backstage Report podcast. I like to do a little bit of housekeeping on this show as well whenever I update something. The Fightful Wrestling Weekly that usually airs at the beginning of each week, or runs at the beginning of each week, rather, on Fightful.com will now be exclusive to FightfulSelect.com. That'll be Tier 2 members. We always put it up there early, but it's basically an accumulation of the stories that we have had throughout the week, much like this. Some of you prefer it in a podcast format, so that will be a Fightful Select exclusive. Also, I believe beginning in July, I'm going to start running the figure haul videos that I have been filming for the better part of a year. I have over 30 of them prepared and ready to go, and we were going to run those when FightfulSelect.com moved within Fightful.com. If you've ever noticed, we don't use Patreon when promoting FightfulSelect.com. That's because eventually it will move on to Fightful.com. It will be a new platform over there, but we're nowhere near that. Jimmy thought it would happen at the beginning of the year, but they ran into some development issues and shorthanded because of the pandemic. So we're a long ways off that. So I'm just going to start running those. I'm going to start bringing in some of the features that I had planned for Fightful Select when it was to go onto Fightful.com. And we're just going to run them here on FightfulSelect.com as it is now. But the URL will always be the same, even if we do migrate off Patreon. But that's, again, a long ways away. Also, I have changed the match ratings blog format and all that. I'm still going to do match ratings and live blogs for major events, pay-per-views, all that type of stuff. And I'll do match ratings if you guys ask me to for specific matches. But I've learned that the live discussions work an awful lot better. Those are up for Tier 2 members for Raw, SmackDown, AEW, those shows that I cover live. And then for pay-per-views, they're open to everybody. So for those of you who were asking about those, that's the update on those. I hope you guys like it. Those live discussions have been so much fun over the last few weeks. We get like over 100 comments on there. So thank you guys. I know a bit of a long-winded intro, but we got some things changing. We got some things streamlining, so to speak. The reason for these changes is to step up the interaction that I have with you guys, because, man, interacting with you guys is... interacting on Fightful Select is the best interaction that I get, period. It is so pleasant. It is so awesome. I love it. And I wanted to give you guys some more exclusive stuff because we appreciate you guys investing in us. We don't want to rest on our laurels or anything like that. But let's go ahead and get into the exclusive news. Oh boy, unfortunately, there were a lot of releases last week. Fightful broke news of Tyler Breeze, Killian Dane, and Everrise's releases among the 14 or so names, as well as Tino Sabatelli. But we're told that the original reports of Nick Khan making the decisions the day of were not necessarily true. We were told that there was discussion within HQ about who's going to get released, and that was relayed that day, and that's more of what we heard. And I also should say that a specific attribute that was given to Nick Khan about not necessarily caring about a person's situation should not have been attributed to him, so I wanted to correct that. That was just WWE as a whole. There were people that were released that had digital projects that just started, people that had kids on the way, people that had some creative plans within NXT. They were married to people in the company, as we saw with Marina and Killian Dane. The situation was not like it used to be, where something like that might prevent a person from getting released. So I wanted to make sure to correct the record on that. That was WWE as a whole, not Nick Khan individually. So I wanted to be sure to specify that. Several of the 205 Live rosters that were fired were on higher contracts than WWE has been giving out for work on that brand of late. We're told that Tony Nese specifically has a 90-day no-compete clause. I'm told Fandango does as well. Tyler Breeze said as much on his game stream. August Gray has 30 days, so that shows you there's a varying amount there. There were creative plans for at least two of the releases. Fightful noted that Diamond Mine had been planned months ahead, and Arturo Huas and Marina Shafir were a part of those plans. Until mid-June, Arturo Huas was penciled in to debut with the Diamond Mine group, but was informed a few days ahead of time that plans had changed for him. There were also plans for Marina Shafir to be involved as a female enforcer of sorts, and many on NXT were under the impression that was still going to happen once they debuted just at a later date. I was told that there were a lot of question marks about Diamond Mine, but that Arturo Huas did some PC live shows, and he had like Diamond Mine-esque gear, and that kind of gave it away for a lot of people in NXT. I don't know if that contributed or anything, but that he was informed a few days before that he would not be a part of that group. Now, the wild thing is, Arturo, he did the talent show on Wednesday. There were multiple people that were released that were on the talent show Wednesday. And for those of you that are going, what the hell do you mean, a talent show? NXT held a Performance Center talent show, and attendance was mandatory for the roster. And I was told it was a morale boost for some, and it seemed to go over well. There were no official winners announced besides the fan, of course. I hope they filmed it, because that's interesting stuff. And I'm told they did everything from singing to stand-up comedy to, like, rituals and songs and performances that were native to where they came from. So I think that's pretty cool. But it is kind of a bummer that Wednesday I'm hearing, oh, yeah, this is a Performance Center morale booster. And then a couple days later, 14 people from that Performance Center get fired. So it didn't work too well. Maybe... I don't know how the order of operations necessarily could have worked to make that better, but that's rough, man. That's rough. And I had been told last week that the cruiserweight division was looking to gain a lot of emphasis on it. Now, I can tell you, at that time that I was told that, gutting 205 Live was not a part of that enhanced cruiserweight division. Now, I could see a guy like Tony Nese stepping in and being an integral part of a new NXT Cruiserweight division, but we did see that sort of, I don't want to say prophecy, that sort of tip that I got pay off that night with Diamond Mine. Now, the working plan had been to emphasize the Cruiserweight division and the title more on NXT programming in higher profile slots with higher profile people. We saw it with Kyle O'Reilly. But we're told to expect NXT to integrate more storyline, bigger names, and angles into the Cruiserweight division, especially this summer, and then the Diamond Mine debuted. NXT officials have been really high on Kushida since he came in, as has the roster around him. People love him. But, yeah, that got rid of a lot of the people that they probably were not going to push within that NXT Cruiserweight division. And I would expect to see some more big names, but I think that Roddy versus Kushida is going to be one of the big feuds throughout the summer. I think that's the working plan. Diamond Mine obviously made their long-awaited debut on NXT, which we're told was a big part of that focus on the Cruiserweight division. We had learned that the Diamond Mine had been planned for months, even well before the Roderick Strong that he quit in storyline on NXT TV. People there would not open up about who was in it very much until it happened. Then people were willing to talk about how it came together and what led up to it, and that it was pushed back multiple occasions. I'm told that the Diamond Mine was supposed to debut multiple times in the past, but they actually pushed it back so it could take center stage and have the spotlight on a specific episode of NXT, which is what we saw. I think that's probably good. If you have Adam Cole returning, then you have Diamond Mine debuting. I could see why that could take a little bit of shine away. However, like a month and a half ago when I would ask, I was specifically told this does not involve Parker. It does not involve Tessa Blanchard. Those were fueled completely by fan speculation. There was never like a real talk there. There were talk of other members, but there was never talk. I don't want to say talk because I'm not involved in those, but I have never heard that either one of those were penciled in, and people in NXT were very, very quick to tell me it's not them. You feel free to kill those rumors, because they didn't want mismanaged expectations. You know what I mean? And I don't blame them, because there were going to be people who thought that Tessa Blanchard was coming in, and Tessa is a very polarizing person. And I know for some people, you're like, why is she even polarizing? She should just be despised. There are still people that support her. And there were going to be people that were going to be either really excited or really disgusted that she debuted or that she was being rumored for this group. So they wanted to manage expectations, and I get it. I completely get it. Some more news about those non-competes. We had reported recently that multiple WWE releases from 2021 have asked for lenience or to forego their non-compete clauses. We gained information that at least one of them has gained an early out on their no-compete clause and were willing to let them out of the entirety of it, WWE was, but that it didn't end up happening, and they did get a bit of a shorter no-compete forgiveness, so to speak. Those that we've spoken to said that Johnny Ace and WWE have been very, very easy to deal with in these talks. As far as most of the releases, some have 30 days, others have 90. But there were some that didn't even know it was a possibility to get out. They were just like, I'm going to take my 90 days and that'll be that. So not everybody is doing this. Not everybody's even aware of it. But it is a thing that is going on within WWE right now. And first off, good on WWE for being willing to let these people out of their 90 days. But if you're calling up people and saying, hey, we're firing you, we have budget cuts, and then they say, yeah, well, then let me out of my 90-day no-compete, and you won't have to worry about it, it would look real bad if you said no to that, right? If you were like, hey, budget cuts, but we're going to make you get paid for these 90 days so you don't appear somewhere else. We've seen Andrade get out of his. We've seen Mickie James pop up on NWA TV. I don't know if she was one of them that asked or if she just said, I'm doing it. I know there's at least one more, and that person does have an appearance plan before the 90 days is up. So, wild times, man. The independent circuit is going to be replenished, so to speak. Unfortunately, we're not done talking about firings, releases, and the like today. We reported that writer Kenise Mobley was let go from the company last week after a podcast interview surfaced where she mentioned that she didn't know much about wrestling and specifically didn't know Bobby Lashley's name after she got hired by WWE. Now, reputable sources within WWE have reiterated constantly to me that fan backlash did not contribute to her being let go. Instead, we're told that they actively discourage writers from speaking about the job. Some of them have NDAs. Several wrestlers felt disrespected by the nature in which she spoke about wrestling and the wrestling business, that she seemed flippant about it and that she seemed to almost be condescending about it. There are writers that I've spoken to that were told that mentioning that they got hired by WWE was not against their NDA, but they were discouraged from posting about it, tweeting about it, anything like that. Numerous wrestlers across both Raw and SmackDown said that writers coming in without wrestling knowledge is not rare, but that the early effort is made to pick it up. Mobley has not commented on the situation as of yet. She's a very talented woman. She's going to find work. She's probably going to find good work as well. Very funny woman as well. Like when she got hired, I looked up some of her stand-up comedy, tried to get a little bit more familiar with her, and very funny woman, really. Oh, man, she's a talent. So she's going to end up somewhere, and she's going to end up doing something good. Jeff Hardy has been used sporadically by WWE over the last few months, even after re-signing with WWE in 2020. Throughout the year, WWE has made alterations and changes on several contracts, and Jeff Hardy's deal was either restructured, re-signed, or extended then. And he spoke openly about wanting no more words as a part of the deal, which we are told lasts until the end of 2022 or the beginning of 2023. WWE is able to add injury time to the deal, which they had actually done with Hardy before he re-signed. But with Matt Hardy talking more about wanting to work with his brother, I asked around about when Jeff's deal was up, and I was told end of 2022, maybe early 2023. With him, it's a little more foggy because of, my God, guys banged up a lot. He takes time off here and there. So it's a little more foggy with him. Impact Wrestling Slammiversary has quickly gained the reputation of being a place where free agent names are going to pop up just after it happening last year, and it always seems to match up with the 90-day no-competes an awful lot. Fightful has been able to confirm with Impact sources that at least two surprises are planned for the show, with outside names making their way into the company, including one that already has a contract elsewhere, and one recent WWE release. Fightful has been able to, been told, to expect a reinvigoration of the Knockouts division in July as well. They have added Rachel Ellering. They are looking to add Killer Kelly. They added Taylor Wilde, and I'm told that two more names at least are expected to come in the summer. So good for that. Thunder Rosa let us know that she's still training MMA heavily, but she's focusing on pro wrestling since it's taken off for her. She's spoken with Combate Americas recently, and the opportunity to have a fight is there. Last year, she told us that her contract with him is up this year. We asked her specifically who her point of contact is for creative in the NWA. She said that Pat Kenny was, who is the former Simon Diamond. WOW Women of Wrestling, we asked many members of the last WOW Women of Wrestling roster what the update is on that, and they say, we don't have one. They say they have not been updated. Some of them have not been spoken to since they were asked, hey, maybe don't tweet about the Tessa Blanchard stuff that's going around. That was like a year and a half ago. Many have just expected the company is on an extended hiatus or is done after the split with Anthem and the pandemic. Not great. I mean, you always want to see people with more places to work. And I thought Access had really found a groove with WOW Women of Wrestling, New Japan. They had Impact on there, but then they killed two out of the three deals. We interviewed Amy Rose of Ring of Honor last week. She said that she re-signed in January with Ring of Honor and that she did have outside interest with the company. I saw some people when I post that say, yeah, sure, Amy. Yeah, sure. WWE had interest in Beer City Bruiser. You can't judge a book by its cover. I don't know why people think that somebody like Amy Rose would not have interest from outside companies. There's a variety of people they bring in for tryouts. So I don't doubt that one bit. Fightful injury report. Joey Janela had a concussion in May. He has been on the sidelines ever since. We also have Ricky Starks, who is getting involved in some angles in AEW, but he's still sidelined with that fractured neck that he got in that match with Hangman Page. But that's been 2 months ago now. They were expecting him to miss about 3 months. So hopefully he's back soon and good to go. Over in Ring of Honor, Dragon Lee is back in action, which is some good news. He was out of the 19th anniversary show, but we hadn't updated that as of yet. Maddie Rinkowski was back in the ring. Good to see her back as well. Unfortunately, not positive contract news coming from the world of wrestling, but WWE released the Singh Brothers, Ever Rise, Arya Daivari, Tony Nese, August Gray, Kurt Stallion, Killian Dain, Arturo Huas, Marina Shafir, Fandango, Tyler Breeze, and Tino Sabatelli. Again, some of those have 30-day non-competes. Some of them have 90-day non-competes. But excited to see what these people do next. We'll see how it goes. We do have some upcoming contract news to pay attention to. Rhino originally signed his multi-year deal with Impact Wrestling in July 2021. Kiera Hogan, her last known contract update was July 2021. And Brian Pillman, as far as I know, July 2021 with MLW. I'll work to find out some more about those.